The party announced delegates favored De Leon 54% to 37%, leaving both candidates short of the 60% required to gain the party's endorsement for the 2018 race.
Kirk Cameron is possibly best known for his role in the 1980 series Growing Pains. The show celebrated marriage and family. Well, Cameron still is very passionate about that. Cameron has a new film coming out tomorrow called Connect. Now, it talks about all the dangers of technology and children. Cameron joined Fox News to talk about the main points of his movie, Connected.
And I think we as parents need to stay connected in rich, fully engaged relationships with our kids. That's the big message of Connect. Giving parents real help, connecting with their kids, preparing them, and keeping them safe.
Cameron also talks about why he decided to do the movie Connected.
I started hearing stories and even the reports from the founding Facebook president saying God only knows what this is doing to our kids' brains. They don't want their own kids on their own platforms. And I saw the top of my kids' heads too much as they're looking at this, not talking to each other, texting people at the same table. And I thought, you know what? Surely this is something we need to pay real close attention to.
For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
WNRI, Woonsocket.
Weather brought to you by John the Roofer, with over 65 years of service to the Blackstone Valley. Find them online at johntheroofer.com or call 1-866-906-ROOF. That's 1-866-906-7663.
The sun returns to the Blackstone Valley after a very cloudy, wet weekend. Monday, we'll see a high of 53 degrees. Partly cloudy skies in the morning. It will clear up in the afternoon. Clouds returning to the region Monday evening. We'll see an overnight low of 31 degrees. 53 to high on Tuesday. Clear skies, plenty of sunshine. 36 the overnight low. And it looks like it'll be even warmer on Wednesday with a high of 57 with sunny skies. Wet weather likely to return by the end of the week. This is Jeff Gamache with WNRI Weather.
The views expressed on the following program of those of its hosts and participants in no way reflect those of the staff or management of WNRI.
The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host, John DePietro.
All right, here we go, folks. The Power Hour has arrived. It's a political Monday. Good afternoon, one and all. It is John DePietro. Here I am. Weekdays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. to a.m. 1380 and now 99.9 FM. And it's WNRI. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Lodge Pub and Eatery. The Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Whether it's lunch or dinner, you're going to love the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln, known for their famous salad bar. Try it out. Great meal for all, great rustic seating. Lodge, lunch and dinner at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Let me just hear...
I don't think you're going to stop it at all.
This is President Trump moments ago.
If a state feels that way, I say you have to go and you have to do what you have to do. I guess we have 9 states that are doing what you're doing, Greg, at least 9, and some are coming, and they're coming fast. But the states can do a lot of this work themselves. They can do most of it.
Gun control.
And we'll back you up, regardless of what you want
to
do. If you agree or disagree with the state of Texas and other states that do it differently, I think that's fine. Just go and do it yourself. We will be there to help you no matter what your solution is. But this is largely a state issue in terms of that school security. And in many cases, it's a local issue. You know, in many cases, you don't even need approval from the state. You can go in as a school district and do what you have to do for the safety of your children. So my attitude is get it done and get it done properly. It is an honor to be with you. So many friends. And
That is President Trump addressing the nation's governors. Good afternoon once again to everyone watching on Facebook Live, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com, EliteWirelessRI.com. Let's bring him on. He's the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, and it's our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Boy, that's, it's an interesting pivot, in a way, of the president of taking this off the table as far as, guns that should be available, raising the age. Suddenly now it's like Hey, listen, school security, that's up to the governor. That's up to the state. You guys decide what you want to do on your own. Now, again, this is all just kind of coming down and seems to be an evolving position right now. But any reaction on those comments, Justin?
Well, I think part of what we're seeing is these horrible events happen, and you can tell there's an organized movement, well-funded, to push the political argument in a certain direction. And so it's kind of understandable that the president, especially being not a lifelong politician, might adjust his positions, because it's natural at first when this big wave of emotion comes at you to sort of to state a position, and then as everybody calms down and starts to evaluate things and to find out, for example, how horribly the federal, state, and local authorities in Florida handled this situation before and during it. Once all that information starts to come out and everybody's taking a breath, then you can start to reevaluate that, you know, well, maybe our initial big reaction about setting age limits and stuff wasn't prudent, wasn't constitutional. So now we have to sit back and say, you know what, it's school security is on the states, and maybe if deputies would actually go in when they hear gunshots in the school, you could accomplish something. But starting to infringe on people's constitutional rights is not the place to start.
You know, you're exactly right. As much as, boy, talk about law enforcement dropping the ball between the FBI not following up, all the different reports about this individual. He was expelled from the school. Then we find out there was a school resource officer there. And then you even had other police that showed up and they didn't want to go in. But I come back to, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I don't think that we know really what the right answer is. But Governor Raimondo, let's just talk about the political element of this, Justin. She's not wasting any time and is jumping in seemingly full blast. A discussion for her on guns protecting children, that is right to me, like right a fastball right in her strike zone. For a woman running for re-election, this is a great issue that she wants to grab and try to own.
Well, it can be in the emotional political way, but again, if people stop and think before moving forward, like, for example, in Portsmouth a few weeks ago, some former student gained entry to the gym, attacked a teacher.
That's right. Yes.
And if you read the news the police report instead of the news reports, what appears to have happened is that he was knocking on the door saying something, and the teacher opened a locked door. That's how he gained entry. Then he went by himself to the main office, and the school resource officer who was present on the campus essentially chased him down throughout and then arrested him as he was sitting in the office. So I think if people take a breath and try to analyze these things as adults, then it loses its political power. And hopefully people will also stop. I was thinking about this earlier. Apparently today, Governor Raimondo is going to sign some sort of red flag executive order. And what strikes me most about this is we're all sitting around waiting to see what the language is going to be, what this new rule, this new process is going to be in our own state government as she signs it into to be policy, to be law of the land. That's not how it's supposed to work. We're supposed to see the policy, have some chance to have feedback, and then if the governor still thinks it's a good idea, and frankly, it ought to go to the legislature, which has its own problematic legislation already in, drafted. Somehow, they all sat down in the state legislature, which finds it so difficult to act in so many ways, and within a few days manages to draft legislation to essentially infringe on Second Amendment rights. It's amazing how quickly they can move when they want to. But I would hope that voters and people who pay attention in Rhode Island would stop and think, you know, is this really, even if I support gun control, and even if, as we all do, I want to make sure schools are safe, is this the process we ought to follow to get there? And I think if people could take a breath, they'd realize that it's not.
Well, I'm looking at right now, Associated Press, Rhode Island is poised to become the first state since the deadly school shooting in Florida to establish a new policy allowing relatives or police to ask judges to temporarily strip gun rights from people who are showing warning signs of violence. Democratic Governor Gina Raimondo signed an executive order Monday establishing a so-called red flag policy. See, to me, Justin, for someone who wants to establish themselves on the national stage, whether she wants to admit it or not, this is something that can help with fundraising. This is something that when she is appearing in different parts around the country to give a campaign speech to donors, Democrats, progressives, liberals, this is red meat to them. This gets... She is not going to lose any voters from this. To me, it gets her some of her base even fired up more about her. And if you're Governor Raimondo running for re-election, she loves the idea. And again, I'm going to... Rhode Island poised to become the first state for me, to me, excuse me, I should say, someone who's an opportunist like Governor Raimondo, this is gold that you're a mom, you're a female, and you're jumping in and seemingly showing action. Everything you said is right, and it should be legislation, it should be that, but instead she's saying, I'm going to do an executive order, and boom, I'm going to do something.
Right, well, that's you put your finger on it exactly. It's to get that national headline for her national donors and her national ambition, having almost nothing to do with Rhode Island itself, to get out there first, to get first in the country. And that's, you know, it'll get her Bloomberg money when she runs for higher office. It'll get other money. And it's a shame that that's what we've come to. But as a practical matter, so I'm trying to imagine, so she puts it in an executive order. We don't know what specifically it's going to claim to do. But let's say it's something like the legislation that has been submitted and we can actually read as citizens. If it's something like that and somebody's Second Amendment rights are infringed under an executive order when there's legislation already in, I just have a hard time seeing this executive order actually being enforceable in that regard. So, yeah, it's all showboating, and we know, you know, for left-wing emotional politics, it's going to do her well. How well it does her, you know, if she ever goes for a national stage, I don't know. But all the rest of us who aren't trying to get to the national stage can do is discuss whether this is good for Rhode Island. You know, and politically, yeah, I guess it's a no-brainer for her, you know, with the ambitions that she has. And the lack of concern, I guess, for more local stuff as opposed to fundraising nationally. But, you know, again, it's a shame that it's come to that and that people just sort of play along.
This tweet that Governor Raimondo put out, I've cried enough, I've prayed enough, I've had enough, it's time to listen to our kids. And then she's taking action. See, to me, Justin, and again, maybe I'm a little cynical politically, but if you're Governor Raimondo and you're standing on a debate stage and someone starts talking to you and asking you about UHIP, what you start to say is, well, let me tell you when I took action. When it came down to those 17 people that lost their lives in Florida, I vowed to protect the children of Rhode Island. Like, this is... Again, it's a really good diversion to just go into, and you're not going to lose. The people that would be against this were not going to vote for her in the first place. So I think it's a strong point for her. It's a strong point for her, and I think this is something that she's really, the Raimondo people are going to strongly embrace to try to swat away some of the other things that have not gone right to her, for her administration, because it's what you just said, and it will. I mean, let's face it. If you go to Silicon Valley or different parts of Democrat strongholds for fundraising, this is the type of thing. It's easy to understand. She says, you know, I saw, you know, as I read through this Associated Press story, it then you have to find where it says California, Connecticut, Indiana, Oregon, and Washington already have red flag laws. But the thing is, where she's going to capitalize is Rhode Island's poised to become the first state since the deadly school shooting. That, to me, is really the crux of it. And from what I understand, she signed it this morning in, of all places, Warwick, which, as you know, why is it being signed in Warwick instead of the state? Because that's a fundamental place that decides elections in Rhode Island.
Right. Well, I mean, we've been discussing how clear it's becoming that she's trying to shore up her progressive base, and with a three-person race involving Joe Trillo and a Republican, that may be enough to get her over the finish line, 30-something percent. Whether I guess the open question for me is how many people who are losing. I mean, we've talked about the polls and how she's the national polls that come out every quarter about favorability of governors and how she's losing people who support her. And this may shore up some of that, but in the process, there is a segment of Rhode Islanders who pay attention. And I don't know if they're going to be excited for a kind of a show hearing. And this kind of reaction could motivate the opposition. So I think she's doing well preventing a challenge from her left, and shoring up that base. And as well, you know, she's fantastic at getting money from out of state. So it amplifies what she's already doing. I just don't know that it adds anything more.
Right. No, I agree with that. And I just wonder, in Rhode Island, there's definitely an opposition, but I don't think it's strong enough. Granted, though, you know, Matty Yellow certainly supported and takes money from the NRA, and they, you know, they certainly have a presence, but it's not the force. I think this is the type of rallying cry that this plays to her strong suit, trying to defend the empty 195 land, a lot of the cronyism, the dipping and taking, siphoning money out of some of the quasi-agencies. That's a little bit somewhat, and even a lot of the UHIP stuff is inside baseball. This is more of like an easier, good issue for her, you know, I hate to use it, but like to exploit, take advantage of, that people could understand. Folks, go ahead, Justin.
And certainly some of the more conservative Democrats, like the Speaker Matty Yellow, who signed on to the red flag legislation, seem to agree that this is a strong case to make. And we'll see.
Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. With us is Justin Katz, Managing Editor of Political Monday from OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, you and I had a conversation last Wednesday, and this was just as the kettle thing was really going, kind of still in the middle. And then he finally decided that what is the net gain here as people started to line up. It turns out that if they had decided, he decided to gut it out, and they were going to expel him, it would have been the first time in 175 years. I want to go through it a little bit. And there's one piece of this that I think that is missing that was not reported on by the media. The media decided not to report the name of the victim. And I understand the girlfriend that he took the pictures and so forth. But this person from Tennessee who... allegedly, they were in possession of, and it really came down to the situation with the page. It was less about the girlfriend, as much as Ruggiero was trying to say there's a pattern of behavior here with campaign finance and the problem situation with the girl and so forth. It really came down to the page program. But what I found somewhat missing from the reporting on it was, other than myself and reading right out of the story about this individual from Tennessee and the Valley Breeze, no one was reporting on the fact, for whatever reason, that the father of this victim, that his father's a retired state trooper. And there's an element of, would this have been the same type of reaction if the father of this individual happened to just be a regular citizen? Or the way that the legislature were all jumping on board because it was a retired trooper. And let's face it, they have a certain presence in the state. They have a certain cachet. And I think that was a missing element of the ingredient. I'm in no way like everybody else. I mean, no one is defending, minimizing what happened. I still, unless there's a court case, we're really not going to know what happened. But there was definitely a little bit of, were they really being this hard line because the victim was the son of a state trooper?
Well, I will say that at every stage of this, I don't want to call it investigation or process, incident, at every stage, part of the news seemed, the journalists seemed to be somewhat surprised at the size of the invasions of his home or at the courthouse or picking him up from work to pick him to spend the weekend in jail on a Friday when they could have done it earlier and gotten him out in the afternoon. That's been pretty conspicuous. And I think a lot of people are wondering what that was all about, particularly given that there doesn't seem to be any indication that Kettle was a threat to anybody right now. So it's definitely a lot of curiosity in that. But another reason this whole thing is focused on the page and not naming him or putting any details to it is that gives cover for the senators. I think it was Senate Minority Leader Algiers who said, this had to do with the safety of employees of the state. And if you name the page, you also start to raise the specifics of this. You know, it was what, 7 years ago when Kettle and the page are within a few years of age of each other. And, you know, it's not as if there's a threat that had to be removed right now because other pages were under threat. And so that played into it as well. But I would certainly prefer to have more information about why this was such a big push and investigation. And part of the reason could just be political as well, where the bigger push the state troopers make, the more it looks like a huge incident. If just a couple go there, knock on a door in a friendly way, take his computer away, it's not really, oh, he's done something outrageous. It's, oh, I wonder what's going on there. So I think all those things come together in a way that does bear more reporting.
You know, what's also interesting about this, Justin, is because Senator Nick Kettle, who has since resigned, since he never spoke out, and I'll be honest, everyone, you felt you didn't, no one wanted to be, and rightfully so, in a position where you seem to be defending him because, you know, and everyone wanted to make it clear that they weren't defending him. I think Representative Chippendale had a good, I know he tweeted out, I'm not defending whatever happened. If that's what happened, he should resign. But just the process that without having all the facts, they were immediately moving to expel someone was going to set a dangerous precedent. So I think it was a difficult story because Kettle never spoke out to defend himself. So no one, this is one of those things that he's accused of, that no one wants to be seen like they're defending that type of behavior, and it became an unusual situation where you're trying to say the process they're taking is wrong, and you're trying to do that without defending or having all the information about the Kettle situation. Does that seem fair to you, or seem accurate to you?
Yeah, that's definitely a big challenge here. I mean, based on, unless there's some surprise, even based on the story with the pictures of his ex-girlfriend, I would have expected him not to run again, and not to be reelected if he did. Even just based on that, if that turned out to be true. But this is, you know, I was thinking this is with the guns as well. Nobody wants to be saying, well, you know, the kids are okay. We don't care about 17 kids killed in Florida. Nobody wants to be saying that, but people do have to put their feet down and say we have to follow a process because that's what keeps us protected, and that's what, you know, it's like tyranny 101, whether you're looking at Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, Recep Erdogan in Turkey, you find some crisis and some reason you have to bend the rules and impose new restrictions, and it's just a power grab at that point. And that's a lot of my concern with the Kettle incident. Was a political scene today in Providence Journal talks about three or four incidents where it was even talked about to remove a legislator. And one of them had to do with the Door Rebellion. So from a certain perspective, it's like the state government is saying that being accused of what Nick Kettle has been accused of is worse than actual rebellion against the state, which is outrageous if you stop and think about it. So it does. I do hope people are starting to pause and say, let's see about this process. Maybe that doesn't make sense. And then you've got suddenly, Michael Marcello, Democrat representative, suddenly he's running for the Senate seat. You start to ask those cynical questions that are all over the place in Rhode Island politics, and that's not healthy either. It'd be nicer if the government would just be responsible and reasonable and follow processes and due process and let people have their rights to see things through and actually have their day in court. That would be a much preferable outcome, and you can only hope that people are starting to wake up to that, but they might not be.
Well, and especially because of the fact that, you know, if Senator Nick Kettle had not resigned tomorrow, what was that going to be? You know, they were going to question him about allegations from an indictment. He was supposed to sit there. His lawyer was not going to be able to ask questions. Any lawyer, and there's so many of them up there, would tell him he has a criminal case pending. So that's hardly the forum that he would, you know, be allowed to even, or, you know, even defend himself in a way. Like, what was that going to be tomorrow? And as someone pointed out to me, when they talk about character unbecoming, right, a sitting legislator and pattern of behavior and some of their accusations, this business of expelling someone, if the progressives take over, what if, you know, they decide that someone who's pro-life, like, that is so extreme that that person should not even hold office in the state of Rhode Island? Or, you know, there's other issues where if you really listen to the progressives, like, they feel that if someone feels that way, that they should in no way, they shouldn't even be allowed to hold office. I think, and we did talk about this, boy, it sets a dangerous precedent if they start to decide what are the characteristics, as opposed to the voters, of how someone is conducting themselves holding office.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I mean, that's like the French Revolution, where you started out with trials, and it ended up to be, you know, just a circus where they were beheading people for saying the wrong thing or getting on the wrong side of politics. And there's always the pretense. Oh, well, yeah, well, this person believes this, and that's just outrageous. We have to get rid of them. But as far as what was going to happen in the hearing, I think, and maybe the single most disturbing part of the whole thing was how Senate Majority Leader Dominic Ruggiero left, in my mind, pretty much no doubt about what it was going to be like. He said, you know, I hope he resigns because he's not going to like this process. Well, it's not going to be pleasant for him. It's not going to be good for him. Well, that's a threat. That's saying you resign because we are not here to figure out whether you did anything wrong. He did say, oh, we'll let him defend himself. Well, no, you're having a hearing to determine whether you should expel somebody. You need to make that case. But so he was saying that he hasn't talked to any senators who won't vote to expel. This is before anything has been heard in any hearing. And it's going to be painful for the Senator Kettle. And he can defend himself, not we're going to make our case why he should be expelled. So it was just going to be a show hearing to get him in trouble, to get him to try to say something that might come back to bite him in the court of law. And it really is outrageous. And it's just, that's why I absolutely understand why Nick Kettle would get pull out of this situation, just say, you know what, I'm resigning. I can understand that, but I kind of almost wish he had forced them to go through with this so that they couldn't just let it die down and would have to face the consequences of their actions, of pulling the trigger, of putting in that legislation to expel him. Because it really is dangerous territory we're in here, and could have exposed really what the whole sham of our elective government is in Rhode Island.
Well, a state trooper told me that, boy, Ruggiero really scored a lot of points in Scituate at the barracks with the heavy-handed approach he took to Kettle. So that certainly got some high fives. Don't worry, I got your back. Would Ruggiero have taken such a heavy-handed approach? It reminded me of the, you know, the trial situation in Animal House, where they bring them in, and it's like, put an end to this. And they're saying, hey, we were told we were going to be given a chance to defend ourselves. And, you know, Dean Wormer, they had no interest in hearing anything that would be said. I just wonder if that had been, the victim had been a single, you know, parents were a single mom or whatever. I don't know. Plumber, someone like that, as opposed to under the radar, that comment, boy, Ruggiero really scored a lot of points. That was, you know, much appreciated by the state police, the way he threw Kettle out of there. This whole thing, as we know, I had the legal analyst Tim Dodd on. I mean, this whole thing could fall apart. The girlfriend may decide that she doesn't want to go forward with that, and the person in Tennessee may never show up. So he could end up walking out of this whole thing with both, you know, charges in both situations dropped. But the damage has already been done, and he's resigned. I'm going to ask Justin to hold on just for a moment, folks, and we're going to come back with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com, right here on Political Monday on the John DePietro Show. But, folks, I want to remind you about K&R Auto Salvage. Call them today, 353-9200. 353-9200, large facility offering used car parts. K&R, they buy junk cars, auto wrecks, family business, close to 30 years serving their customers. K&R, wholesale used auto parts, guaranteed quality, and they'll pay you cash for your junk car. Foreign American Auto and Truck Parts, K&R. 80% off retail prices, access to nationwide inventory, and they'll pay you the highest price for your junk car. You can rely on K&R Auto Salvage. Call them today at 353-9200. 353-9200. K&R Auto Salvage, your choice for wholesale used auto parts, located 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence, right off of Mineral Spring Avenue. Go with the leader. Go with the best. It's K&R Auto Salvage. Call them, and right now they're looking to hire a salesperson and a tow truck operator. Call K&R Auto Salvage today. 30 years serving their customers. Guaranteed quality. They'll pay you cash for your junk car. Foreign American Auto and Truck Parts. It's K&R. Karen and her family, what a great job they do. 353-9200, 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence, right off of Middle Spring Avenue. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're going to be right back with Justin Katz on this Political Monday.
The Paul Massey President's Day sales event is going on now. And at Paul Massey, you buy happy every time with the confidence of the Paul Massey one-price guarantee. Right now, buy happy with this exclusive one-price lease on a 2018 Chevrolet Equinox LT. Only $199 a month for 24 months with $2,488 due at signing.
In my Paul Massey ride.
Chevrolet, find new roads at Paul Massey Chevrolet and Paul Massey Chevrolet South. The Paul Massey President's Day sales event is going on now. And at Paul Massey, you buy happy every time with the confidence of the Paul Massey one-price guarantee. Right now, buy happy with this exclusive one-price lease on a 2018 Buick Encore. Only $188 a month for 39 months with $988 due at signing.
In
Happy at Paul Massey Chevrolet, Paul Massey Chevrolet South, or Paul Massey Buick GMC South.
Folks, Mega Disposal, call them today, 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. Remember, you're cleaning out your basement, your attic, your workplace, your garage. Call Mega Disposal. Let's get a dumpster in the driveway, 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. Mega Disposal, local family owned and operated trash recycling collection company serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. You own a small business? Call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services. Various sizes, estate cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households. Call Mega Disposal today. 866-420-MEGA. Let's put a dumpster in the driveway. Or if you're a small business or you have a shop, call Mega. They can set up a container, and that container could be emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. Serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts, call Mega, M-E-G-A, Disposal today. 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. Monday, good afternoon, one and all. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. This is Political Monday. We're right in the middle with managing editor from OceanStateCars.com. It's our friend Justin Katz.
Justin, it is amazing that, General Assembly, they're back in session tomorrow. I understand there's going to be a big anti-gun rally at the State House. But something, here it is. We're basically into March. They've been in session since early January. Nothing significant has been passed. PSAC's thing still not decided. But I am curious, just your thoughts, as, the months go by. You have March, April, May, and then anyone that's going to file for governor, that's going to be the deadline. I'm just curious, any thoughts you have right now on General Assembly? It seems like business as usual, where they're just going to wait till the end and cram things through. Let's make a deal. And any thoughts right now on the race for governor?
Well, right now, all the heat is on with the Republicans, because so far nobody's really emerging to challenge Raimondo on the Democrat side, and no actual independents. Joe Trillo's still Republican with an asterisk, I would say. And it's kind of a shame, I think. You understand why the front runner, Mayor Alan Fong, would be reluctant to speak out on a lot of controversial issues. And you understand why somebody who's not the front runner, like Representative Patricia Morgan, would be calling him out for not coming out on where stating his position on controversial issues. But when the opposition party is constantly going after each other, it starts to feel like they're losing sight of the larger challenge and letting the incumbents and the insiders who actually have the power in the state get skate away without real challenge. So that's kind of a shame, and especially in light of the poison pill of Trillo's independent candidacy. It'd be nice to see some resolution happening there rather than growing heat among those candidates.
And Justin, you know, the Trillo campaign, he's been a little quiet lately.
Yeah, I'm puzzled by that whole thing. I would have expected, as we discussed when he first announced, that, you know, he would probably take as many opportunities day in and day out, just trying to get his name in the news and be cited as a candidate. So I'm not sure what to make of a quieting down at this point. But so far, because he's quieted down, there's only so much we can observe and say about that. In the meantime, you know, I think Patricia Morgan's doing a good job of getting herself out there and reminding people, you know, pulling the race to the right somewhat and reminding people that she's there and running. In some ways, she almost seems like the only viable opposition candidate at this point. So at some point, Alan Fung's going to have to really come forward and start campaigning in earnest. In the meantime, we're all just waiting to see what positions they could possibly take and how they might possibly come up against Raimondo's, you know, $4 million and growing of lot of out-of-state money. That's going to be the big challenge and the big thing to see them all do. And in fact, it's a question why they're not all out there constantly trying to get in the news, whether it's for good or bad reasons, just to combat that coming wave of cash.
I'm looking right now on Twitter. Patrick Anderson of the Providence Journal tweeting out, Governor Raimondo at Warwick City Hall with Mayor Abedishian to sign the red flag policy executive order to encourage disarming potentially violent people. And then he also tweets out, Raimondo executive order would direct state police to, quote, assess all, quote, red flag warnings, create public awareness campaign, and form policy working group. So without legislation, won't directly give any new authority to disarm anyone. I wonder how Mayor Fung, his fellow Republican, feels about Abedishian providing Warwick City Hall to Governor Raimondo as the backdrop of her doing this legislation.
Well, Abedishian's long been sort of on the chafy wing of the Republican Party in Rhode Island. So there's plenty of room to be to his right and plenty of opportunity for somebody else, like Mayor Fung, to say, well, you know, that's just Scott being Scott. So that's not all that surprising. What I do see the governor's press release, which was just released, does emphasize right up at the front, just as we were just talking about, less than 2 weeks after a tragic mass shooting in Florida, Governor Gina Raimondo became the first governor in America to take executive action. So that's definitely the line that they're playing. I also noticed that there's nowhere you can get the language to this executive order. In fact, the governor's page hasn't updated any executive order since 2015. So talk about transparency. It's all show and political heat. Political gamesmanship. It'd be nice for Rhode Islanders to actually have something they could look at.
I agree. Before we let you go, as far as the Senate race, I mean, we're almost into March. I do get a lot of press releases from Representative Nada Lillo. It doesn't seem to be anything that is really breaking through. They are trying. The Flanders camp, I don't see a lot of activity from there. I think at some point those two camps really need to focus on Senator Whitehouse, or, you know, it's a big challenge. Senator Whitehouse is sitting back, and then I'm sure they already had the television bought for the day after the primary. And then it's just, you know, he's going to blow through all the money that he has. But so far, to me, no one's really laid a glove on him.
No, they haven't. And you can kind of understand some slow going for Justice Flanders, trying to get into Judge Flanders, trying to, you know, get his bearings on how he wants to run. So there's some allowance for that. And you can also understand Representative Nardalillo's trying to be in the news as much as possible because he's got a lot of ground to make up. Although the way he's doing it is odd, particularly since he has a primary, things like legislation to add a 10% new tax to violent video games in order to fund an anti-gun campaign. It's kind of an odd fit for somebody who has a Republican candidacy, and he's been doing that kind of thing for over a year. Legislation that makes a conservative like me kind of say, "What's he thinking?" I'm not really getting it. but I have noticed Senator Whitehouse hasn't been quite as visible on a national stage as the far left attack dog.
Good point.
Everybody forgets or loses some. So all the clips that the Flanders or Nardalillo camp will come up with for advertisements and to say what a crazy guy Whitehouse is, they'll all be a little dated because he hasn't given them any new material. So that I think more than anything else, I'm seeing seems like a political calculation that might be changing the dynamic come November. So it'll be a challenge for the opposition to remind everybody what it was that made Senator Whitehouse somewhat of a curious choice for Rhode Islanders. But, you know, they as soon as there's a candidate on the Republican side, they may be able to tap somebody in the on the national stage or even in the Trump White House who could needle Senator Whitehouse. The Trump White House, two words, and to needle Senator Whitehouse, one word, to try to get him to react in the way he's been known to react. So there's potential for some good political theater coming up. So far, it's been a dud. Sounds like a movie review.
Yeah, no, it's dead on the money, though. Folks, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. He's our friend Justin Katz. Justin, great job. We'll talk to you again.
Great. Have a great week, John. Thanks.
All right. You as well. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. With that, we'll take some of your phone calls, 766-1380, 766-1380. You can email me, john@depietro.com. So Governor Raimondo did have a signing, this whole business where the state police, they're calling it a red flag. I don't know how real it is. The state police, of which she does control with Colonel Asumco, they'll decide if someone is unstable. They'll decide whether or not someone gets to have a firearm. I find it very politically calculating that she decided to do it right at Warwick City Hall with Republican Mayor Scott Avedisian. It shows bipartisanship. Warwick right next door to Cranston Mayor Alan Fung. So definitely a political calculation by Team Raimondo. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. You can call in 766-1380. Folks, remember, right now, our friend Sal at Metro PCS, you can get the best unlimited deal. Stop in and see Sal, his five locations, and you get two lines, unlimited LTE data, for just $80. Two lines, unlimited LTE data for just $80 plus two free awesome smartphones with Sal and Metro PCS. You need a new smartphone? You want to change your service the way I did? Stop in and see Sal. Five locations with Metro PCS. 1027 Cranston Street in Cranston. That is right next door to the Rite Aid in Cranston. Sal also has the location 989 Manton Avenue in Providence. That's right near the CVS. And that is right behind Rhode Island College. 1852 Smith Street in North Providence. Right next door to Salon d'Italia. And then you have 1503 Atwood Avenue in Johnston. Right next to Johnston Town Hall. And also 1553 Plainfield Pike in Johnston, right off of 295. Folks, you want to upgrade your phone, you want to take advantage of this tremendous deal,
make sure you do it with our friend Sal and Metro PCS. Stop in one of his great five locations, and you can always call him at 332-5051, 332-5051. Better call Sal, Sal, and Metro PCS. Well, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Some of the news of the day, President Trump did say, make that comment, that he would have run into the school. So the gun debate continues now. And now in Rhode Island, Governor Raimondo signs a red flag policy, which still has not been fully vetted exactly what it means. But it does give now the state police the power where they determine if a family member or someone says, hey, this person is unbalanced, and it sounds like they don't have to wait. We're going to have to try to get more information on that and, you know, everything broken down about it. We still don't have a tremendous amount of information about this legislation, but to me it was very calculating by Governor Raimondo to jump forward and say, look, I'm the first governor since the shooting to take action. There was also, again, folks, the John DePietro Show phone number, 766-1380. It was also interesting, there was an article over the weekend in the Boston Globe where they talk about different people, governors, that they want to target. And someone who is not on the list, as far as the Democrats want to target, is Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker. And Governor Raimondo is quoted in the Boston Globe story saying that they have a very good relationship. He's very, very popular. So even though a former, I think it's the former mayor of Newton or Cambridge, is going to challenge Governor Baker, here you have Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo saying, yeah, he and I enjoy a very good relationship, and he's very, very popular. So certainly not going out on a limb to try to take him out. This portion of the John DePietro Show, folks, for a great lunch or dinner, it's brought to you by the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Stop in and see them, the Lodge Pub and Eatery, whether it's lunch or dinner. Lodge can accommodate up to 100 people. They have several dine areas throughout. Famous salad bar, always stocked, fresh vegetables and more. Lunch or dinner, unique rustic setting. It's the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show, 766-1380. You can email me, john@depietro.com, john@depietro.com. And as always, folks, follow me on both Facebook and Twitter at John DePietro Show. So the gun debate continues. President Trump has talked about it. The president doesn't seem to be, to me, on the same page as the NRA. Another big story is Ivanka Trump is saying that she feels it was completely inappropriate that the reporter for the Today Show, that he asked her about her father and some of the allegations against the president. So that is also making news on this Monday of the situation of some of the comments. It's not an inappropriate question. She's chosen to work in the White House as a staffer and presidential advisor. She can choose not to answer. But let me just see. I think I have some of the audio of it.
And on accusations of sexual misconduct against President Trump, allegations he's repeatedly denied. Do you believe your father's accusers?
I think it's a pretty inappropriate question to ask a daughter if she believes the accusers of her father when he's affirmatively stated that there's no truth to it. I don't think that's a question you would ask many other daughters. I believe my father. I know my father. So I think I have that right as a daughter to believe my father.
Now, again, the question is whether or not it was she's saying it was an inappropriate question of the ask.
Accusations of sexual misconduct against President Trump, allegations he's repeatedly denied. Do you believe your father's accusers?
I think it's a pretty inappropriate question to ask a daughter if she believes the accusers of her father when he's affirmatively stated that there's no truth to it?
Now, again, the media is weighing in saying that it's a fair question. She can choose not to answer, but because she works at the White House as a staffer, that it was a fair question to ask. But the Trump people, Ivanka Trump, feels that it was completely inappropriate that she was being asked that question about the president. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. I received an email. You can email me, john@depietro.com. Some of the email, this is from Linda saying, Dear John, love listening to you now on 99.9 FM. I agree with you. I don't think the solution is to arm the teachers. I think that would lead to just more chaos at the schools. The teachers seem to have enough problems trying to keep the kids' attention, let alone now if they have to go through extensive training with a firearm. Another email. This is from Michael, who writes, Dear John, love the show. Listening to you on 99.9 FM. I have a major problem with the idea of guns in the school. From what I understand, when I go to pick up my child, it sounds like the teachers do enough just to try to get through the lesson of the day, let alone now if they have to go through firearms training. So, plus the expense of blah, blah, blah. I do agree there should be more security in the school. I sometimes see that as the students getting out, people are going through what should be locked doors. Schools need to buckle down on security. So that's an interesting take on the whole thing as well. Folks, remember, Water Filter Company. Call them today, Water Filter Company. It's Steve, it's Alice. They're located right in North Kingstown. For clean water for you and your family, call Water Filter Company, 294-2400. Free consultation serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts. Water Filter Company, 294-2400. Bottled water is an unregulated industry. If you want the cleanest water possible, do what I did and have a water filter installed in your home. Call Steve and Alice at Water Filter Company, 294-2400. 294-2400, Water Filter Company. Now, I mentioned, so today, Governor Raimondo has signed this red flag policy. So they feel someone seems unbalanced. They should not be able to get a gun. Now someone calls it in. There's still a lot about this that we don't know. But let's hear a little bit. This was the report that was filed by Channel 12.
Danielle and Patrick, Governor Raimondo is expected to sign that executive order here at Warwick City Hall later this afternoon, and it will immediately establish a red flag policy across the state. The goal of the red flag policy prevents people from having guns if they are found to show red flags or a risk of being a danger to themselves or others. Governor Raimondo says the school shooting in Parkland has renewed the urgency for states to act to prevent gun violence. The governor said legislation is still needed to put these measures in place permanently, and she supports the strong red flag legislation being filed tomorrow at the State House. We spoke with the House Speaker about that legislation on Friday.
I believe that the Second Amendment's an important constitutional right. However, kids are being shot in school, so that gives you pause and it makes you think about it, and you have to try to find the most effective ways of dealing with it.
Well, again, this to me... And again, folks, that was Channel 12 reporting, and that was the voice of Mattiello that you just heard. I think there's a lot of politics involved here. I think there's certainly, I don't want to say knee-jerk reaction, but just Raimondo touting, we're the first since the shooting, up for re-election, a red meat topic for the Democrats. She loves the idea. This is definitely in her strike zone. I could see her, and we'll have to wait and see over the next few days. She has found a way to now kind of inject herself into the national debate on the story, and I think you're going to see her get some press. Her people are really going to go to town with this as a way to both raise money off it and also raise her profile on it, on a topic that she feels very, very comfortable for. And in a re-election bid, should anyone, you know, start to criticize Governor Raimondo, this is going to be one of her strongest fallbacks is going to be what she has done as far as this red flag executive order to keep children safe at schools. Whether or not, we'll see whether or not it's going to keep anybody safe at school. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. 766-1380. Remember, Propane Plus for all your propane needs. Serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts heating and propane services, it's Propane Plus. In Massachusetts, call them at 508-252-3359. In Rhode Island, 885-4209. 885-4209. Propane Plus, the leading full-service provider of propane to Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. They can install your tank, schedule propane delivery, and service your entire heating and cooling system, and install any propane or natural gas appliance. So whether it's a hot shower or provides heat, hot water, cooking, standby power, Propane Plus. And check them out online at propaneplus.com. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. I want to thank everyone for listening, especially to Justin Katz. Big day with the Supreme Court. We'll see what happens with the unions. And then also, huge day, Governor Raimondo jumping forward with this legislation, with this red flag legislation. We're back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned. The John Dion Show is next, right here on 99.9 FM, AM 1380. And it's WNRI.